This week on the Retro Zoo Super Show, unable to comply, building in progress.
Live from Kakariko Village. Broadcast throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the Internet. The Techno Funk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
Welcome to the Retro Zoo. Why are you coughing so much?
Because I have asthma. Why are you making fun of my disabilities, bro?
Do you have asthma?
I might, and you don't know, and now you're feeling bad.
Gosh.
You're feeling real bad.
Welcome to the Retro Zoo Super Show. I am Kai.
And I'm the asthmatic Steven.
Oh, gosh. Oh, we are coming to you live from WTRI in Kakariko Village. We welcome you to today's show.
Welcome.
And thank you.
It's welcoming people, not you.
I have to muse for just a moment here on how ridiculously well the timing of this episode ended up being.
Yeah.
Because our initial plan was, first of all, we were supposed to be done with this series like a month ago, but just crazy scheduling and
pandemic
and pandemics. We needed to make frequent pit stops into other worlds, other galaxies, and talk about other games in the middle of this series on RTSs. But the original plan was to have this episode before StarCraft. And so this episode was supposed to be like I think over a month ago. And that just did not work. And we ended up doing StarCraft because we had a very short period of time in order to put the episode together. And even I knew more about StarCraft than I knew about this game, which is sad. But you are a resident StarCraft expert who doesn't know any of the plot. And so we decided, look, we could do StarCraft on less prep. And then we will do this episode, which is Command and Conquer, next, even though Command and Conquer actually comes first. But we happened to have landed on this week by sheer accident. I did not even know until we started researching to record this episode that 1 week from today, the remastered collection is being released in full and glorious, I guess glorious, probably glorious 4K resolution. The videos look pretty.
Yes.
And so, as I understand it, this is actually the original Command & Conquer game and Red Alert. Am I right in that?
Yes, and I think they have expansions.
Yeah, with all the expansions on. And there's a ton of expansions. That was another thing. I was looking at like the releases of this game, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of Command & Conquer games that I'm looking at. I'm like, actually, no, there's not. There's several.
Yes.
But there's just a lot of expansions.
Dude, I have almost the exact same story, like leading up to what everything you just said, like I experienced in the last, and doing the lengthy amount of research that I did to prepare for this episode. And dude, when I stumbled onto that, that it'll be released next week, I was like, holy cow, that's so crazy that this you know worked out this way. But it's exciting too, because honestly, I was like, all of a sudden, like, I'm gonna buy this, you know, I'm gonna buy this remastered version. I mean, I had so much fun watching the cutscenes from the game and everything, and then so wanting to play it but kind of not knowing how to get it, and knowing that it was gonna look bad, it just made it all that much better when I was like, holy cow, like 1 week away. So it's pretty exciting news. Pretty exciting.
Yeah. So, currently, like, did you look at the price?
No, actually, I didn't, because
okay. Do you want to take a guess?
Let me guess. Let me guess.
I was looking at Trial of Mana, but that wasn't a remaster. That was a complete remake.
I did buy StarCraft remastered, so
how much was that one?
I believe it was only $15.
Oh, okay. All right. So these remasters are not as expensive as I thought they were.
I think that's smart, though, because it's kind of like, and I think now it's down to 10 for StarCraft. So how much is it for, like, close? Is it 10?
It's 20. 15? Yeah, it's 20. 20 for this. Which is, so, I mean, it's pretty jamming. It's like this two games.
Too. It's like so much older, more of a relic, whereas StarCraft's kind of easily accessible when we played it not that long. This is digging way back into the annals of gaming history.
Yeah. Which I like seeing this stuff. I like seeing that they're investing. Yeah, there's actually two aspects of this. First of all, there's like websites like GOG, which is, I've mentioned before, they know me so well. GOG, like, I spend, because I'm a retro gamer, and I don't buy new games ever.
Right.
GOG can get money out of me. They know what I like. They're like, I think the last thing, you know, was just like, you know, hey Kai. I was like, yes, GOG. Don't try to tempt me with new games. And I'm like, we're not trying to tempt you for anything. I just wanted to let you know. I say, don't say it, GOG. Don't do it, GOG. I don't need to spend any money. And they go, hey, you know, no problem, no problem. But we have a sale on Myst. And I'm like, here's my money.
They're like walking away, and like they kind of say it over their shoulder, like, oh, yeah. I wanted you to know we had a sale on.
Right. And they do that.
This was in a dream. They get you your dreams.
Right. They'll be like, a week later, it's like, sale on Dungeons & Dragons games. And I'm like, okay. Here you go. but what's
I've actually
GOG
never bought a game off of GOG, and that's probably, and I think you're gonna make that permanent, because I don't have that willpower. If you start tapping into it, it would just be like a river, you know, like it'd be like I'd be trying to get like a straw hole into like a dam, and I'd just like ding 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 with like a little chisel, like try to put my straw in, and then the whole dam would go. No, I don't know. Probably not. Yeah. But Command & Conquer available on GOG prior to this remaster version?
Let's find out. That I didn't even get to my
point.
Can
we ask GOG? Sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, I don't think it was. Or it's not at this point. But yeah, it's like, and when I spend money on these games, a lot of these games, especially when they go on sale, a lot of the games that I like to play, like really early games, they end up being like a couple of bucks, and so it just becomes really easy at that point. But you have like stuff like GOG that is like trying to keep alive these old PC games and update them for the newest versions of Windows and stuff, and support them so that that they remain playable, because it's like, I'm like, I have, you know, I bought Myst. I have two CD-ROMs of Myst. I don't know why I have two. I know why I have one. I don't know why I have the second one, but I have two of them, but they don't work on my computer. And so it's cool that, you know, that they have this system that supports them. But then you also have this other movement of even just simple remastering of, you know, making sure that the graphics are up to date. It's running well on current PCs. It looks nice. I think this is a very good movement for us. And it's keeping alive these great, great classic games that, can so easily just be kind of washed away by time. And there's so many games, especially in the really early days, there's so many games that are just gone that will never have.
It makes me sad to think about that, actually.
Yeah. And, but,
it makes this an honorable cause, really. And you know, they did say they have a ton of stuff available in the remaster. I mean, just if you watch the promo video, I don't know if you did, but they have, it's just jam packed, including music, like the guys that did the original music, the Tiberian Sons, something like funny band name, but they remastered everything, and it's like, it looks really slick and clean, and like it's going to be a really good, and for, you know, I don't know, when you're buying something, I guess these days, it's like, it's nice to know you're like supporting the guys, because there's original engineers from Westwood that were involved in it and everything, so.
Oh, nice.
It's really cool. It pays a lot to the genre.
That's very, very cool. So, so that's great. You know, if you haven't guessed already, we are going to be talking about Pokemon Red and Blue today.
Because they're my favorite.
Right. Did you play Pokemon? No.
No, I did not. I think I've told you the story before. You know, before Pokemon was a video game or anything like that, it was a card game. And as you know, and I guess before that, was it a TV show? I don't know.
I don't know the timeline of things.
Pokemon, right. I just remember it like, I remember playing Magic the Gathering at Books with my friends and like going to Paper Heroes, and we all play Magic the Gathering. And then one day, which is like out of nowhere, 1,000 kids were there playing Pokemon, and they were younger. They were young, little kids, you know, with these goofy, like cartoony cards, and like I'm sitting there with like my hand, you know, my deck full of vampires and like swarms. I'm feeling very, you know, like, ooh, like I felt like we were the older kids, we were cooler, we were playing Magic, it was kind of more of an adult type game. And so I always looked down, and unfortunately I didn't, you know, I think I was snooty when I was a kid and kind of thought I was better than the Pokemon players. Okay, I thought I was like a cool Magic kid, and like the Pokemon players were like elementary school kid. I don't know, that's just how I saw it, but I was pretty little too. I was a little kid too when I think back on it now. I'm like, man, I thought we were awesome with our Magic decks.
I really was. The only reason I asked you that was to find out what your first generation starter was, and but that seems kind of moot at this point, because you're just going to think that I'm, you know, like elementary.
I do.
Well, immature kids.
I it's weird, because I know, I mean, it was a huge cultural phenomenon, and it still is. I mean, it's still amazing. So I never got into it, and so I have no idea. And I never, and my younger brothers played it.
Right. Yeah.
We're familiar with it.
Well, fine. I'll ask them.
Well, I was going to say we should have had a brother of mine on this podcast, because he probably actually knows more about Command and Conquer, which is the actual topic.
The actual topic, yes.
He probably knows more about it, because I think he has a better memory of video games he plays than I do. I think I for me, it's like I have like a Van Gogh memory of games I played when I was a kid. It's very impressionistic.
Yeah.
But if you stand real far away and squint your eye, you can kind of see what I'm talking about.
Oh, wow. So let's hit on to Command and Conquer. So, this should have been before StarCraft. We've been doing a series on real-time strategy games for a while. And you know, we covered Herzog's Vi and into Dune 2. into Warcraft, and this is about when Command and Conquer comes in. It comes out in 95. It's actually hitting the shelves in September of 95. Now, Warcraft 2 is really just a few months behind it in December. And so these games are being developed at the same time. Command and Conquer, though, is coming out of Westwood Studios. And the reason that's important is because that's the place that really kind of nailed down this genre in the first place with Dune 2.
Right.
And a lot of the team, the Dune 2 team, just kind of continued their work into Command and Conquer. And so you really have, that Dune 2's not the first real-time strategy game, but it seems to be like the first game that really kind of put the formula together that Warcraft would pick up, that Starcraft would pick up. You know, there'd be some adjustments
right
along the way, but that's the formula that that this genre takes. And so this is the group of people that that really nailed that down and made it super cool. And now the genre is gaining in popularity because Warcraft has been released the previous year. Warcraft 2 is about to hit the shelves as well. And this is, you know, the next few years here are going to be the true height of real-time strategies, strategy games, as you have Warcraft 2 coming out, Starcraft not terribly far away, but we get Command and Conquer, and very soon thereafter, Command and Conquer Red Alert.
Yes, both just like you were saying, total classics. And really, I played Command and Conquer and Red Alert. I guess there was an overlap with Warcraft 2, mm-hmm. but I mean, I was playing them both all at the same time. I guess when Red Alert came out, I played that and Warcraft 2. But man, I just remember I spent a lot of time playing it, and like we would play against computers and I just remember like massive tank battles. I think that's kind of the thing that the thing that sticks, the classic thing about Command and Conquer, which ultimately kind of made it less fun, because it kind of at the end of the day, generally tanks were like OP and you could just build a ton of them and whoever built more faster would win.
Got it.
So it was because I do think I have very hazy memories of playing it online against people, and that was how we played. I think I might have played on a LAN. Actually, this was early enough to where I had cousins that had a LAN at their house, and so dad was into a network guy, and so we played, and man, it was just, yeah, that was kind of how, at least that was my experience, was like more tanks better. So anyway, it was an amazing game. But I mean just like the layered aspects that occurred in this game. So you've got the graphics are better than everything else pretty much prior. Like,
sure.
So as fresh eyes are, and this is a funny thing. So today, not only today, maybe it was yesterday. No, I think it was today. I watched that video on the Unreal 5 engine. And so, I don't know if you've seen the video, man, but no. It's just, I guess they're unveiling this new engine for PS5 and it's amazing. It looks like a movie theater. It looks like real life. You're just like, and I remember being a kid thinking like, I wonder if games are ever going to be like real life. And like now I'm actually seeing it happen. But, and so to kind of go back, with fresh eyes, like everything, every new iteration we were seeing was one step closer pretty much to what is actually happening now.
But
and something we always look forward to, like what happens when the graphics get like lifelike quality, and they've been there for a while, for a few years. I know we're getting close, but it seems like every few years it takes this monumental step. And I think the original Command and Conquer was one of those moments where you had like as I was watching, just rewatching some gameplay and just refreshing my memory, because my memory on this is like super dusty. So I was blowing off the dust by watching these gameplay walkthroughs. And one of the things that struck me was like the units, the infantry units that you start out with, and that you start out with in the kind of the backbone of your army initially, is the way they move is like slow. And then you've got these vehicles that move like actual vehicle speed. And so it adds this, it does something when you're watching the game. It makes it feel real. Like, oh, these little guys are not like darting around the screen like little avatars in other games, where there's not really a relationship between the avatar and the actual playing field as much. It seems more of like just a placeholder. But in this game, it's like you actually kind of, it looks like the guys are running in the grass or whatever through the trees. And you know, their guns don't shoot nonstop. They're like, you know, they have little burst fire mode. And so it just creates this. And then that is combined with the music, which is amazing, which I don't know if we'll show or not, but it's very progressive, you know, kind of industrial techno stuff happening. And so you've got this layer, and then the cutscenes are, it's like live action characters, and it's good acting, and it's like cool little story. I mean, it's cheesy, but it's enough to make you think, like, and it says a lot about somebody taking something seriously. If somebody takes something like these guys, they made a serious story, and they try to make a serious game. And so, however, you just look past the cartooniness of certain aspects of the game, and it feels more real. And so I remember having that feeling initially when I played it, and just rewatching the playthrough, I kind of harkened that back. I was like, oh yeah, like this was a really cool game. It was kind of realistic. It was like you were actually the commander. So
right.
You didn't really have that prior to this game, to Command and Conquer.
Hey, it's Kai here. We recently finished our latest EP, Quest of the Dragon Warrior. It's an electronic tribute to Dragon Warrior and the amazing music that game gave us. We're really excited about how this music came out, and we want you to have it for free. If you go to technofunkboy.com/dragonwarrior and sign up for our weekly newsletter, you'll get the songs to download and keep for free forever. That's technofunkboy.com/dragonwarrior, or check the show notes for a link.
Yeah, and I want to get back to the cutscenes, because this is like a relic of the mid 90s.
I love it.
Oh man, I do too. I think I mentioned it on a previous episode, but they very recently had a Humble Bundle on a bunch of Sierra adventure games, and I was so tempted. I was looking at like the Phantasmagoria and Gabriel Knight that we cover both of those games, but the second Gabriel Knight game, The Beast Within, and both of those are full motion video games that they would never make today, but they were great. And but just the format by itself, because one of the things that this game proves is the versatility of the genre, you know, because, you know, you started off with, Herzog's Y, which was very science fictiony,
right?
But didn't have all the elements. You know, you go into Dune 2 and, Anla and I were actually talking about this the other day, because I was listening. You read Dune, and I was listening to the audiobook right after you, and there was I don't know if it was on your copy, but on mine, like, they had this whole I'm sorry, not on Dune. I'm thinking okay. I listened to Dune, but then I listened to Ender's Game, and that's where the kind of afterword was. I am getting so confused.
It's so science fictiony.
I know, but Orson Scott Card was talking about trying to sell a novel of his, and it was rejected for being fantasy. And he was like, "What are you talking about? This is science fiction." And he said what he realized was that science fiction has rivets, and fantasy has trees. And so if you look at the cover and there's some kind of metal bulkhead with rivets, that's a science fiction book. But if there's trees, that's fantasy. It's fantasy. But I just listened to Dune, and Anla and I were just trying to debate whether Dune was science fiction or fantasy. And it's clearly fantasy. It just has spaceships. but it's clearly fantasy. And it doesn't even have trees or rivets because it's all desert.
Okay, go on.
Anyway, so you have like the science fiction-y type thing that's kind of science fiction-y, kind of fantasy-y in Dune, but you at very least have some guns and stuff. Right. In Warcraft, you have fantasy, pure old-fashioned orcs versus humans, literally.
Right.
And then forthcoming, we're going to have pure science fiction in StarCraft that hadn't gotten there yet. But what we have in Command and Conquer is, it's alternate realities and alternate histories, but it is much more, modern focused.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely
it has science fiction elements to it, but it also has like machine guns,
right? Well, what I really like what you're saying and I like the concept of like this crossover between genres. You know, you've got a science fiction genre, we've got a fantasy genre. They have certain elements and characteristics that kind of define them as such, but
right,
Command and Conquer definitely falls somewhere in there.
Yeah.
That you have this because, this Tiberian thing, it's definitely there's some otherworldly kind of things going on. They're harvesting this, it's definitely really far in the future. But if you think about other genres that have kind of participated and practiced that, I mean, the whole MechWarrior universe takes place like it's on Earth, but really far in the future to where, there's people spread around the solar system or whatever, the galaxy. I don't remember the length of space, but they're all humans and they're kind of interacting on this. It's science fiction-y, but there's, there's always this element of I guess when you have it touched back to reality, to our known reality or our timeline and where we are today, it's fun. I mean, even Star Trek does that, right? Like that's science fiction, but it's, I guess you could say there's elements of fantasy in all of that. I mean, I think they're all fantasy, right? So, yeah. It's fun. You know, the fun thing about Command and Conquer and the realism aspect, the science fiction aspect is that you can kind of imagine this. The things you're seeing and the way you're playing and the units and everything, they're all like relatable. It's not like in StarCraft or Warcraft. Where, like,
right.
I don't see knights anymore, or I don't see like orcs like ever. And so I do in my dreams, when I play video games, but I don't actually see them in the neighborhood. Well, I guess there are people I know that, or I've met people or seen people that are orcish in their behavior.
Yeah.
But it's more of a metaphysical thing.
But the science fiction elements are kind of like Independence Day, where there's stuff that's falling from the sky, but you're still using modern tanks,
right? You got a machine gun, right? Like you were saying,
right? Which I like. I mean, I like the versatility of what you can do with this, with this style of gaming, that it doesn't have to be one thing. You can do a lot with this and use this as a platform to tell some pretty crazy stories. And this is one of those crazy stories. And you were mentioning, like the fantasy elements where you have like these just mysterious aspects of it, like the character of Cain that seemed to be not quite normal human,
Yeah, well, he's got something wrong.
Yeah. there's all sorts of elements going into this, and once we get into Red Alert, we have a whole alternate history feeding into this thing, that's pretty interesting. But at the I guess at the core of Command and Conquer, the first game is you have this what do they call it? The Global Defense Initiative.
Yeah, the GDI.
GDI against the Brotherhood of Nod, which would be Bon, B-O-N. Bon.
They go by Nod, I think.
Oh gosh, that's
I'm sorry.
Garbage.
I'm sorry.
But
Nod is cooler either. Than Bon.
Totally. Right, totally. And the Command and Conquer 1, I keep seeing this referred to as
Tiberian Dawn. Tiberian
Dawn.
It's not the official name, it's what people call it, because people get tired of saying Command and Conquer 1, I think. So it's called it's not officially called Tiberian Dawn, but that's
they could remembered. Shorten it to Command and Conquer, so it'd be CAC. CAC.
I think somebody already tried to use that.
Oh, darn.
Oh, that was Call of Cthulhu as well.
And so all right. This is referring to this meteor that falls in the Tiber River. Did I lose you?
Yes, you did actually cut off our second, but you said it refers to a meteor that fell in the Tiber River.
Do I have that right?
I don't know. I actually did not go into the story that far.
What is wrong with you?
I'm the mechanics guy. Like I'm more of a mechanics guy. You're more of the story guy. We've got to know our little, our little.
Okay. So So here's the problem I have is because I was totally into Warcraft at the time. I had some friends that were big into CAC. And
so they were khaki.
they were khakis. That's what you call Command and Conquer fans is the khakis. Gosh. Oh, we're going to get some hate mail on this one. I never got to play a story mode in this because my experience with this game is when hanging out with them and just, doing battles like you would have played back in the day.
I might have been one of your friends. I was like the little kid in the room.
Okay, so this is what I understand. In the 90s, this meteorite crashes into the nearer into the Tiber River, which is in Italy, and it has this kind of I guess some kind of metal substance called Tiberium.
It's a crystal.
It's crystal. Yeah, that's right. Okay, yes. And it does some stuff which brings out the Brotherhood of Nod or Bon. they have kind of this spiritual element where they're being led by this crazy guy Kane. Who we will meet.
He's like a prophet.
Furthermore in Red Alert, because he's apparently helping out Stalin too. And and so, y'all go and fight each other. And so that's the important part, is fighting each other. And then in Red Alert.
Well, you can actually you pick both sides. It's like
StarCraft.
That's the fact. That was the first time anybody did that. Well, I guess with Warcraft, you did it too.
No, Warcraft did it too.
But the great opening scene.
Dune did it.
True. That's true. So it's continuing this tradition, rather.
Right, yeah. That's one of the – I think one of the important things of RTS is – being able to play both sides and each side really has a, like you could finish the game in each side and you have a different plot. That's one of the kind of things that's really cool. Red Alert goes into an alternate history where, do you know the story of this game?
I don't. I know. I remember playing it more though, so I should know.
So, okay. So this game,
that lady that I think I had a crush on.
Einstein goes back in time to kill baby Hitler.
What? I forgot about that.
Which actually sets up World War II differently, where it's now kind of the Allies versus the Soviets. And so now Kane appears as like an advisor for Stalin, and y'all are whooping up on each other in this kind of battlefield, which. So getting to the cutscenes, which is again one of those just important parts of 90s gaming culture. It's full motion video.
Oh yes, dude.
And this was cool because like the cutscenes in Warcraft are not. I mean, the story's fine, but the cutscenes are not great. And so when coming to this, where you have full motion video acted in the first game in CAC 1.
Yeah. Tiberian Dawn, please.
Tiberian Dawn. I saw it noted that there's like one professional actor and everyone else are Westwood employees, which is very common in this time period. So like if y'all haven't run across it, there's a gaming YouTube channel called Metal Jesus Rocks. And Metal Jesus was an employee of Sierra back in the day, and he often has other employees on to kind of reminisce. And they'll talk about like scenes they were in that they would just get pulled out of the office. And it's like, hey, we got to do this scene for Phantasmagoria 2, you know? And so one of the guys is like, okay, now you're the bartender in this very sleazy bar. He's like, all right, and they just do it. So you're like, so this happens all the time. These game companies they did not have the budget,
right?
At the time, they were doing remarkable stuff on shoestring budgets, and Sierra like dumped money into making this studio where they could start filming full motion video. But even then, it's like you watch like Phantasmagoria 1, which was the first game they filmed in that studio. And I love that game, but the acting is quite cheesy. And it's like, it's the completely green screened. Everything is green screen.
Oh man, that must have been weird.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and it's like, and I feel bad for the actors because they're just like, you know, I mean, most of the time alone, just pantomiming in front of a green screen. you know, Phantasmagoria 2 was filmed on location, but you still didn't have just a ton of budget. Like Gabriel Knight, Beast Within, they spent all their money like filming real backgrounds in location in Europe. But all the actors, and so it looks great, but all the actors were green screened from, you know, from Los Angeles or San Francisco or wherever it was. I remember Gabriel Knight 1 has Mark Hamill when we talked about this game, I blanked on the dude's name too.
Yeah,
and Tim Curry. Yeah, Tim Curry. Why do I blank on his name every single time I bring up this? And so they had
you're not into Curry. Use the word. That's very probably often.
Yes. and so like that was an outlier. They didn't do that much. And that was for voice acting, but that they didn't do that much. But that was they definitely didn't hire them for full motion video. That's when you start bringing in people from the office. It's like, can you be a bartender? You look like a bartender. Okay, come on. No, just wear that. But the fact is, you know, they're incorporating, you know, a serious effort to do some kind of cool and intense plots in here, and really have this be, you know, kind of this great commander versus great commander, you know, strategizing type of an atmosphere, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, that's really immersive, you know, and it assists in your suspension of disbelief. And I see these really cool scenes where I guess I the Kane scenes, though, I was watching some of the cutscenes and the first Command and Conquer. Yeah, it's a little hard to watch some of them. I think that the GDI
and that's the one professional actor.
Well, he's just like, at one point he's like holding this like chess piece and he's like talking to you, and he's always like saying something at the end of, he's always holding something different. Like one time it's a gun, he's like, I can trust you, right? And like he's got like different props he holds every time there's a cutscene. One time he's like, he's holding this chess piece, he says his little spiel about what you're gonna do for the mission, and he's like, it's your move. And he like puts the chess piece down. So it's like everything, he's always holding a prop and like waving it in your face, and then like has a little connection there between what he's saying and the prop he's holding. That was a little weird. And I didn't remember that from being a kid, so I guess it worked on me. That was a rewatch kind of realization. Another awesome thing is the Red Alert soundtrack. It is so epic, and I just remember like I was listening through it, and I don't know if we'll get that on a Backbeat episode. It's another one to check out. It's got this, it's like a 90s metal, just really driving, song. And they have this like marching voice in the background. It's like, A-track! And it's like march, you know, marching feet, you know, and it's just like this. Anyway, I can probably sing the whole thing if you'd like me to.
Go for it.
I've prepared it. I've been practicing singing it. So
wait, no. We'll save it for the Backbeat.
Okay. Because I could do it on command. But anyway, yeah. Just a Red Alert was, I think, also Red Alert. Now, and I didn't do research on the story like you had. That's really interesting. Those are interesting facts, and it makes me want to play it again. Definitely makes me want to get the remastered version. But I think that I, just from my recollection, and this is going to my Van Gogh perspective, my impressionistic perspective on this just being so long ago, I remember Red Alert polishing big time. So it's different graphics, at least they seem to be updated, and you know, a lot of new units. There was the addition of like flying units. I don't think they had them in, it was way more common. And then you had like the Tesla coils, you know, there's like this electricity, you had like shock troopers and stuff, just added a lot of units. And so, you know, and in a strategy game, whenever you add units, you add, you know, versatility and strategies and stuff. And so it really was a bunch of layers. I think Command & Conquer Red Alert was what we cracked out on, mm-hmm. because it was good. It was so good. Big old double barrel tanks and the super heavy tanks or whatever. I just, oh man, dude, like when you crank those puppies out, man, you got your helicopter support, your little helipads and stuff, and the Tesla coils would shoot at the opposing, you know, troops, and they electrocute, you know, little cool animation of their little skeletons flashing on and off.
Natasha,
that was her name, right? The bad lady.
Oh gosh. Once again, when I actually got into gameplay, it was with my friends who play like you.
Oh, that's right. So you didn't enjoy yourself.
No, I enjoyed it. It's a very cool, I mean, it's a very cool system. It's a very cool game. I just didn't get to play it like I wanted to.
Oh, it was Tanya.
Tanya. Okay.
Yeah. That was the chick that allied. That was the GDI girl.
I didn't find a lot of sales information except on Wikipedia. It does seem like from Wikipedia's reporting that the original game sold quite a bit better than Red Alert, which I thought was weird, because Red Alert was the one that I always remembered people talking about, that it did seem, you know, from a distance that this was a great improvement.
Yeah, no, it totally changed the, I mean, when you make something more slick, you know, like it wasn't much different, but it was a seamlessness that occurred, you know, because they had already made Tiberian Dawn. They had gotten all the feedback from that, and then they just went and made a better game. It's kind of like StarCraft and StarCraft, I think. I mean, it was this, and it had the same feeling going, you know, StarCraft to StarCraft 2 was later, from going from Command and Conquer Tiberian Dawn to, you just get this, like, it's a smoother game. It runs better. It runs more intuitive. You know, the interface is better. And so and the story was better. The actors were better and they paid more money. They had better, you know, bigger name actors, Red Alert. And so every kind of layer was, might have added, but yeah, no, it was
nice. Awesome.
Yes. I also think that if I get the remaster, I'm
with the plot.
Yeah. With the plot and everything. Cause nice. I never do.
We should note just on Legacy that, they made a ton of these. We mentioned before that it looks to be a lot more games than there actually are. A lot of these are expansions and stuff, but you know, they well into the 2000s, they were making Command and Conquer games. They even
tried a first person shoot.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
And it's like they mentioned, I guess the latest one was just a couple of years ago. It's called Rivals, and it is a free-to-play mobile game, which I hadn't heard anything about. And so yeah, interesting. But there are a lot of these. I haven't heard a lot about the ones past Red Alert myself. I don't know if you've played much past that.
I think I played a little bit of Tiberian Sun, but I used to say Tiberian Sun all the time, like, oh yeah, Tiberian Sun, but I think I was thinking of Tiberian Dawn. And I didn't realize there is an Tiberian Sun. It was probably something like, because I mean at that point, like, what was the point of playing any other RTS?
Starcraft.
Yeah, all other RTSs became obsolete. No, it was well, and that's due to the interface. I noticed that watching gameplay, you can't put units to, like, you can't move a unit to attack. Like, you have to actually click on an enemy, which doesn't make any sense. Or it does make sense, but it's a different type of gameplay. So, you know, they're figuring these things out, and StarCraft is built on the shoulders of this game. But really, ultimately, I think once StarCraft came out, why would you go? And also, you're not hearing good press. You know, it's like everything that you're hearing about. It's like these companies, we spoke about this earlier. This was when Blizzard was actually spending a great deal of time like developing games and not releasing them until they were ready. And you had all these other companies just dumping games too soon and not finishing the development. And so I'm wondering if that was the demise of the Command and Conquer series, using the name for traction and not actually putting the effort into making the game. Because if they were great games, I'd like to think they would be recognized, especially in this day and age of information where it's like, oh, this was actually a great game. People would go back and play it, or you'd hear about it. But
yeah,
well, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to be the person that judges a game based on the publisher, but I do all the time.
Right.
You know, like on an old NES game, you see that that LGN rainbow, you just your blood starts boiling right away. Westwood Studios, I don't think is a thing anymore, and it is this game has been run since very early on by EA, and EA is unfortunately not known for great games, and so I would before saying that, you know, these titles have declined in quality, because I just don't know that. I would actually like to play them and take a look at them, and there's been so many, it's like that'd probably be a lot of fun to do. But it does worry me, and you know, whenever you see the EA logo on something that once was so great, you're like, okay,
yeah.
Like Star Wars Battlefront, because though the first two games, when I think it was LucasArts doing them, so good,
yes.
And then EA took it over, and it's like, oh. Okay, well, I guess y'all are going to do this now. That's fine, I guess. Whatever. You know?
I'm going outside.
Right. I'm going to go play with my rocks outside.
I'm going to get some vitamin D.
Yeah, and that's just I think that just really is a shame to see that. I hope that that hasn't been the case with Command and Conquer, but it is a series that has completely fallen off my radar since the 90s. And it has been a lot of fun, like looking back into it, researching it. It's like, well, oh, and I'm excited about this remastered. Cool.
Yeah, we wouldn't have found out about that otherwise. Like now, I'm like, okay, that's something I can get. You know, that's something that I'll play.
Yeah, so super excited. That looks like a lot of fun.
June 5th, it's Friday, June 5th next Friday.
Yep. So, that is Command and Conquer. That just next week is that release, and so that is available for pre-order pretty much anywhere. I just pulled it up on Steam to get the price on it, but you'll be able to find that anywhere. I'm not sure if the reviews on it are out yet, but it does look promising. We are going to probably take a little bit of a detour again next week, but we do have one more game in this RTS series, and I don't think it's something that's necessarily been all that influential like these other games have. Like everything we've talked about has just been,
define the genre. Yeah,
world-shatteringly influential.
Right.
But I really wanted to play Star Wars, and so I made you play it too. And we're going to talk about it. Galactic Battlegrounds. When we started this series, I was like, wait a minute, there's a Star Wars RTS. We're going to play this and review it.
And it got great reviews. So it'll be, it's fun. We both played it a little bit already, but.
Yeah, just a little bit. I'm enjoying it so far, but, do I remember that it was the Command and Conquer people who are doing it or somebody else? Gosh, now I can't remember. No,
we'll find out next week or the week after.
Right. Forget I said that. I may just be completely blowing smoke at this point.
Similar graphics, at least. So it probably was. There's some relation down the line.
Right. Anyway. Oh, no. Age of Empires people. That's
yes. Okay. That's, we never talked about Age of Empires. Oh, we did. In passing,
yeah.
There's an entire people of Age of Empires. They have their own community, so you can venture on over. You can search for them. I'm sure to find out a ton of stuff. I know people that are really into it.
Yeah, we're gonna get to Age of Empires eventually, but not in this series because I feel like it deserves
separate
more research.
right. And StarCraft didn't.
Right, because you know everything about StarCraft, except the stupid plot.
I'm a jack of all trades, a master of none.
It's the name of the game in this show, you know? We really do appreciate you joining us today. We would like to encourage you, if you are enjoying this show, to support us. If you would like to do that financially, you are more than able to do that at patreon.com/technofunkboy. If you are unable to do that financially, that is totally okay. We're going to cry a little bit, but that's okay.
We're used to it.
We're used to it. But you can still support us by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, on your favorite podcast app, as well as sharing the episodes on social media to your friends, and that sort of thing. And otherwise, it's like jump onto our Discord server because we do have a lot of fun over there. And so we'd love to have you join in there. Otherwise, appreciate it, and we will be back next week with something completely different.